Father, Lord, we do love you. We thank you and praise you for the day that you give us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the age. We thank you for revelation, Lord, in this last day. We thank you for every promise to your bride. And Lord, not only to your bride, but throughout the ages, Lord, since the beginning. Lord, because you've proven and vindicated over and over and over. And Lord, though there may be more doubt in this last day than ever before, but Lord, there's greater faith than ever before. Lord, for you've vindicated your word, Lord, continually throughout. And Lord, you've vindicated your word in this last day to your bride. We thank you and praise you. Lord, we ask that you would just have your way. Be with our brother. We're missing him this morning. Lord, may you just touch his body. Lord, give a quick recovery, Father. We just ask your blessings upon each one now. Lord, as we commit the service, the word, all things, Lord, ourselves to you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We thank the Lord. We're sorry to hear about Brother Goomba, the accident that he had. But we thank God for saving his life. It could have been a very deadly situation. And so we thank God for his grace and for all upon each one. And may he just give him a speedy recovery. And we know it takes time when you break a bone. And so he's going to be in a rough shape for a little while. So we're just, let us just lift him up. And so now I just sent the quotes out just at the last minute here. I certainly wasn't prepared. Brother Goombas was taking these services, and so I was taking a break. And although I got to read a little bit while he's gone. But I, you know, there's two things you do. You study for a message, and then you study. And so when you're studying, you're collecting stuff from so many subjects. But when you're on a lesson, you're studying specifically for that. And so I was just enjoying reading and studying, and so I didn't really. Have it together. Now, once again, I sent the quotes, but I usually give Amber my phone so she can read them, but they didn't come to me. I sent them to myself and they didn't come, and now they've come. Okay, so I know you've got them also, brother. They just took a minute to get out. And it's just, I guess the service is real slow here because they're not open, and I'll give them to you in just a minute, huh? And so, all right, so we're going to just get right into this now. And I want to pick up, I want to just review a little bit or maybe put a little more emphasis on some of the things that we said last Sunday. And I want to go back first into the message, Christ is revealed in his own word. And I want to read the quote on paragraph 28 where I got my title from. And so... Amber, if you'll come, you can take this. And so where I got my title from, I wanted to read that once again, just kind of refresh, and then read a portion of the quotes that we had read previously and that we read last Sunday, just to make maybe a little bit of emphasis on some things that maybe I didn't touch as much as I would have liked to. So now the same thing is this. If you are a son of God, and I'm a son of God, or a daughter of God, we were in God at the beginning. And when Jesus became the fullness of the word, and you, when you're reading, when you're listening, when you're studying, you watch how many times he makes this statement, referring to that fullness. And we were reading the other day where he's talking about Christ being the fullness, in this message he talks about it, and he says that's the reason why that we don't look to something else, because he was the fullness. In him was the fullness of the plan of redemption. And so what was in all the rest of them was a part of that plan. Now, there was a part of that plan in Moses. There was a part of that plan in each one of those prophets as they were given deliverance in their age. And so there was a part of that in the church ages because they had lost. They had lost it, and what they received on the day of Pentecost, so that was the birth of the church, yet at the same time, it came forth in part, and so it was just a part of that. So the reality or the revelation come in this day when he says, when we don't look to something else, we're not looking forward. One of the few times he said we weren't looking forward to something, he said we're looking back to something. And he said, because he was the fullness of the word. He was the fullness of all of it. The fullness of redemption was in him. The fullness of the plan of salvation was in him. You can't look anywhere else. You have to look back to him. And so that is really, and we've talked about it many times, a misconception to people, how they miss what they're looking to. When they are looking to Pentecost or to Paul, when it's Christ that we're looking to. And that's where we fail. We fail so many times when we're looking to a man, be it the messenger or whatever it is, and you say, brother, that sounds wrong. It might sound a little bit wrong, but the messenger is not pointing to himself. He's pointing to Christ. And so, and if any man is failing to point to Christ, his message is wrong. He's missing it altogether. So it's got to be Christ himself. So let's continue. And when Jesus became the fullness of the word, then we were in him. See, in germ form, when he was crucified, we was crucified in his body. And when he arose from the dead, we rose with him. And now, since we have recognized it, and this is where I got my title, and this is where this keeps coming back around, because we are recognizing many, many things in this age. We're recognizing many things in this day. And so it's a constant revelation to the bride. It's a constant revealing to the bride. As we study the message, as we lay in the presence of the Son for that ripening, for that maturity, Christ is making it more real. The Holy Spirit is here in the bride. The teacher is living in the bride, and he's teaching and revealing and getting all the greenness out. See? And now since we have recognized it, now we sit together in him, with him, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See? If we were sons and daughters of God, we are God's children. See? Then we are attributes of God. See, then we got eternal life. And God is the only eternal life there is. See? And we were in him from the beginning. And when Jesus became all that word, see, then we were a part of him then. Amen. There you are. When that's in there, there's no devil, no powers, no nothing can ever move it. That's the tie post of the soul. So when that is in you, when that birth, that spiritual birth, that spiritual baptism takes place, then it's Christ manifesting himself. He's manifesting the word for the age. Paragraph 52. So the Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, which was the prophets, all of them, putting together. See, put together. Jesus was Malachi. Jesus was Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah. All that they were in him. And all that you are, all I am, is in him. Words. Witnesses of the words. What did he tell us in the unveiling of God? He said, ye are written epistles. Epistles that have been written. And he narrowed it down and he said, manifestation. It's the manifestation. He said, that's the correct interpretation of that scripture. You are manifestations of the word, of the promise of the day. And so that's what every one of them was. Every prophet, everyone that God was using down through the age, the elect of every age, it was Christ in them bringing to manifestation the promise of the hour. See? Witnesses of the word. But it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Tie that together now. Put that together because that's the title of the message. Christ revealed in his word. And if you are the word, that's where he's revealing. And if you're not the word for the age, then you're not revealing Christ. You're revealing something else. Amen. But if you're the word for the age, you are the body. You are the veil. You're where Christ is living, where he's manifesting. You've been born and brought into his presence. You've been invited in. You've been invited in. You crossed that riven veil and you've entered in to his presence. And that's where you live, and that's where you walk, and that's where you talk, and that's your whole life. That's your whole life right there. Amen. It's him. But it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, God himself revealed from word to flesh. That's what you are. Written epistles manifested from word to flesh, bringing forth a manifestation. See? God is the word. See, Jesus being the flesh, it's the revelation. How God the Word was manifested in human flesh and revealed in us. Amen. See, and that's why he becomes a son of God. That's why, you remember when we were reading this, I think it's actually the next paragraph, which we're not going to read, but we did read. He goes straight from this to the idea of no eternal sonship. And he says he always he pins it to the Catholics who come with that idea of the of Trinity, which there is a Trinity, but not the way they say it, yeah. And how they talk about eternal sonship. And so he brings that, and he brings it quite a few times. And I'd like to get on that sometime, but I just. I would like to go through all of those quotes before I do, because there's a lot there, and there is revelation there. There is revelation there, and I want to fully understand what he's saying, and it's like all of it, and we know this. It's a razor edge. Everywhere we look, it's a razor edge. Every time you open a book, every time you're listening, it's a razor edge. It's designed that way. It's purposely that way. It's just like we were talking about last week when he's talking about the Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he talks about that those thunders, they're not there. And so when Brother Branham's talking about it, he's saying, no, you can't. He said, that's a revelation. Give to some man. And that's what they're asking him. He's saying, no, it can't be that. And so... I'm getting ahead of myself, but you're gonna hit that again. I wanted to make sure I clarify that, so we're gonna hit it again in just a minute. But he said it can't be that, it can't be that, and so that's what I've always thought it was. That's what I always believed it was. It was a revelation given to a man who gave it to the bride, and Brother Branham is saying no. But the reason he's being so precise is because it's a theologian trying to trick him. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't even tell you not to say it. He says, be careful when you say that. Be careful when you say that. If you say it, have a revelation of what you're talking about. Amen. Have a revelation of the statement that you're making. And I think that should apply to the whole message for us. Amen. Because everything is a razor edge. Everything is so close that it would deceive the elect. And it's so easy. I was reading early this morning, and I got to thinking about David and how that he was trying to do God a service. Now, David, his heart was right. Every intention was right. His desire was right. What he wanted to do was good. He did not have evil in his heart, that I'm going to go down and do something bad to the ark of God. He desired the presence of God among him. Amen. That's what he was desiring. It was a good thing that he was desiring. And so, he made a mistake. He got out of the channel that God had provided. And God is the one who's got to tell you to do this. God is the one who's got to say, do it now. Amen. It's the same thing. He said the same thing. Brother Branham compared Peter on Mount Transfiguration, he compared him to the same thing. And he said, here they was trying to start three denominations. He's making a point for us. And a lot of times we look at that
And you know, we kind of throw off, but just remember, that's a brother, an elected brother. That's a seed of God there that had in his heart to do something good. He knew that Moses was the voice of God. He knew that Elijah was the voice of God. And now he didn't want to throw nothing away. He didn't have that revelation. And they didn't have that revelation in the greatness that we have it even today. And they were learning it right then because the voice spoke and said, "This is my beloved son, hear ye him." But Peter's intentions was good. It was all the revelation he had at the moment. At that time, he knew that Moses was the word. He was God to the people. He knew that Elijah was the same thing. And so now, here is the Christ, the Messiah, and the only thing he knows to do is bring it all together. Let's build three tabernacles. But it was wrong. That was not God's plan. The difference is, when Dathan was doing the same thing, Korah was doing the same thing, all the other ones, Cain was doing the same thing, they were doing the same thing. What was the difference? When the Word spoke, they were corrected by the Word. And they accepted the correction.
Amen.
Mary accepted the correction. Your father and I have sought you with tears. I must be about my father's business. She accepted the correction. She knew that's what the Word. And they listened to the Word. Peter listened to the Word.
Yeah. Amen.
He might have already had plans to go, if he was going to do it naturally, go buy some lumber and start building three tabernacles. I don't know what he was going to do. But that idea got out of his mind real fast. Because
yeah.
The Word had spoke and brought him into the presence of the Word of the day.
Amen.
And that's what it's done to us.
Amen.
It's brought us into his presence.
Amen.
And so he made it clear. You know, when 20, 30 years ago, and I guess 30 years ago, some of you were pretty young. But there were great battles going on in the message. There were great battles, and Pentecost was one of the greatest battles that was going on. Brother Richard, Sister Edith, I know they know. Sister Evelyn, I'm sure Sister Esther knows what was happening in Kenya. But there was a time that we were following the message. People were following the message in light of the Pentecostal age. Because we were following the seventh angel messenger. We were believing the Pentecostal message. And that's as far as we had got. That's as far as we were seeing. And so, sorry, I'm just didn't bring my hanky, but I'm glad nobody's close. I remember old Brother Noah Cottle. You sat on the front row when he was preaching, you was going to get wet. And so I try to be careful because sometimes if I get going, sometimes I have it. I'm just guilty. So, but anyway, so those messengers. There come a time when Brother Branham began telling the bride that what Luther had will not work today. Thank you. What Wesley had will not work today. What Pentecost had will not work today. Well, that was not the revelation that we had up to that time. The revelation that we had was we have all of those together. Okay? And now we just keep adding a little more, a little bit more. But and that we even went through that stage. We went through that stage because Brother Branham said we have all of that plus. We do. But some of that literally will not work today. Some of that you cannot do it today. If you do, you're living in another age. The revelation has come up into a higher order. And so when he said that it won't work today, he meant it won't work today. When he said the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today, he meant that the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today. Now, you might find some of it that's going to come over. That's true. It's always like that. There was some of the Old Testament came over. It came over. It came over. And Paul established some of that. When he talked about the women. And when he put the woman, he held her right in her place, put her under her husband, and he said, "As also saith the law." Didn't change, did it? Although everything had changed, or seemingly changed, but the nature of God didn't change.
Amen.
The nature of God stayed the same. And so that's where you have to let the prophet say what's done away and what's not done away.
Amen.
We don't make those decisions on ourselves. We hear many people talk about when marriage and divorce was done away at Calvary, or it was done away here, or it was done away there. No. He tells us. He's the one who tells us where something starts and where something stops.
Amen.
He's the one. And so we know that the sex law by polygamy, where it started at, and he told us where it's going to end that. And so when people want to end it before that time, that's up to them. That's on them. But that won't work for the bride. She's going to be quiet till she has thus saith the Lord. God is the Word, and Jesus being the flesh, it's the revelation. How God the Word was manifested in human flesh and revealed to us. That's why he becomes a Son of God. That's why he becomes a Son of God. He is a part of God, you understand. The body is part of God so much that it's a son. And what are you? You're sons and daughters of God. That's what you are. And what's inside of you is God. That's God on the inside manifesting through this body. And so it's he himself, the Word, manifesting. Paragraph 270, unveiling of God. Then we then become part of him. As you are the veil that veils him. I wanted to read that again because that's where it's at. And we used to quote that quote a lot, where Brother Branham said, the only way that the world will see Christ today is in you.
Amen.
That's never going to change. The only way the world will see Christ is in you.
Amen.
Because you are the veil. That's the veil. At one time, he was in Christ. And he was in Christ so he could pay a price so that he could be in a many-membered body. So that he could manifest himself in a many-membered body. And we know that in this last day, he came forth in the bride. And he had one that was waved over the people that was the first one to come to maturity. He was the first one. When he received the revelation, he waited for that revelation to live in him. And then he brought it and he said, this is it. This is true. This is the promise. This is the day. This is the hour. This is the time that the token must be applied. This is the hour that the literal life of Jesus Christ has come back upon the body of Jesus Christ. And he made it clear that the body, that you are the body. That's something else I'd like to spend some time on because that is something else that we have to recognize. That we are literally his body living and breathing and moving. And anything that he wants done, he's doing it through the body. He's moving through the body. You are the veil that God is using. See, you are the veil that veils him. You are part of him as long as Christ is in you, as Christ was in God. Paragraph 276, I said, but you look, this is where the theologian, see, was coming at him. But you look, one word cannot be added or taken away, see? And he said, well then, them seven thunders, see, said, won't them seven thunders blasting out, won't that be a revelation give to some man? I said, no, sir. It would be adding something to it or taking something from it. So because it's a theologian, and because he's trying to trick him, because he's trying to catch him on the word, the prophet is being very, very precise. That's why he said, be careful when you say that. He could say it. He could say that God give this to a man to reveal to the people. He could say that. But that's not precisely what it is. Precisely what it is that Christ himself came down and is speaking it himself through a man. It's being manifested through a man, in a man. It's being spoken through the veil of a man. But precisely, it's not the man. It's God Himself. It's God Himself that has come down, taken over the veil. So it's not something just give to a man. Brother Branham said, no, that's not it. And so if he says that, that's how we're going to say it. We're going to be careful when we say that. We're going to be careful when we say it. If we say it, we're going to say it with understanding that it's not the seventh angel, but it is the Son of Man Himself has come down in the flesh of that seventh angel. Amen. See? 279. It's all revealed in there. And the seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. See? That's what it was. See? It's still in the Word. See? You see, you can't get out of that Word. It won't leave the Word. And God's Spirit will never leave that Word. As you go through the message, every time Brother Branham's talking about the life, the new birth, every time he's talking about it in you, and he talks about all the different things and how the world is manifesting the world, and how the nominal church members and the make-believers and the unbelievers and what their life is producing, he always brings it back to one thing for the bride. And he said, they cannot fail the Word. They cannot disbelieve the Word. They are going to have the Word on display. They are going to be the very manifestation of the Word for their day. That's what they are. That's the promise. That's what God had in His mind. And it's been taking place in every age. In every age. So if there wasn't but one in the days of Enoch, there was the manifestation of God. Right there in that one. I don't know how many there was, but I know there was one. That's the only one we know about. That was the manifestation of God. We do know that there was only eight in the days of Noah. There was only eight in the whole world. That'll get your eyes off the crowd in a hurry. That God can call one person if He wants to. God's Spirit will never leave that Word. It'll stay right with the Word, blinding some and open the eyes of others. It always does that. See? That's right. Paragraph 280, your written epistles, read of all men. I cut into this. We read it Sunday, but I cut into it because I wanted just to get one little four words down here at the bottom. Your written epistles, read of all men. Or I translate that. Turn it around this way, see? Just turn it around. Ye are epistles that has been written. That means you were attributes that was in His mind, that was written in His mind, that was to be manifested in the last day. Ye are epistles that has been written. Because you can't add nothing. That's His point. That's it. That's what He's repeated over and over and over. When He said that this Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, this is what He keeps saying over and over and over again. You cannot add and you cannot take away. You can't. See? Because you can't add nothing to it. That's read of all men. Here's the four words. Manifested Word of God. Who's He talking about? He's talking about you. He's talking about the Word being manifested. He's talking about those written epistles that was written in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. He's talking about them being manifested in the age. And so that's the bride right there. That's what the Scripture is saying. You are that manifestation. You are the veil that God's hiding in, that God's walking in, that God's talking through. That's what you are every day. We need to remind ourselves that every day you get out of bed. I'm the veil that God's living in. I'm the manifestation of the Word of this age. That's what He said. That's what the bride is. She's every bit of it. No matter how much The world can look at my mistakes and all my failures, and I got plenty of them. Anyone can look, they can criticize, they can do anything they want to. But I can't doubt this.
Amen.
And this says that those that cannot doubt it, that don't have the ability to doubt this revelation,
right,
it's because Christ is living in them.
Amen.
Because no man can call him Christ except by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
He's got to be in you for you to make that statement and it be real.
Amen.
A living word being spoke from the lips of human beings. See, manifested word of God, in other words. That's right. See, notice, made alive. It's that quickening power. And today, when the word is manifested in human vessels, veils, it's absolutely the word fulfilled in that day, which comes back to God. What does it come back to? It comes back to Him. And that's the separation that's taking place in the revelation that the bride has. It's constantly becoming more real and more real to her. That it is not her, that it is Him. And that is what the new birth is all about. That's what the body of Christ is all about. That's what your whole life was predestinated to be. It was to die to your own self, that He would come into you, the teacher, the Holy Spirit would come into you and live out His own life.
Amen.
And you would be taking over. You would be taking over by the Spirit of God, and you would find yourself doing things that you didn't have no intentions of doing. You will find yourself understanding things that you never could get with your own intellectual thinking. You will find yourself in a place of peace. You'll find yourself in a place of an atmosphere that is beyond this world.
That's right.
And that is the presence of God. That is heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That place is only real to the believer.
Amen.
We talk about it and we talk about it. But Paul talked about it for his people, because the Holy Ghost was poured out on them. They didn't have it like we have it. They didn't have it in its fullness like we have it. They didn't have the reality. But He still declared that they had been transformed, and that they were in the presence of God, because that partial word that they had is where they were living. And that's where Christ was. Christ was in that part that He had revealed to them. And that part of the Spirit that was living in them was the teacher teaching them that part of the revelation.
Yes, sir.
And now He's come in His fullness. Now He's revealed Himself in His fullness. That's what you got. They didn't have it.
Amen.
Paul, their messenger, said they didn't have it. Our messenger confirmed that they didn't have it. But now it's here.
Amen.
Now it's come.
Amen.
It had not come, but now it's come. It didn't come at the end of the sixth church age. It came at the end of the seventh church age. That's right. That had to be finished. Made alive. When the word is manifested in human veils, it's absolutely the word fulfilled in that day, which comes back to God, being baptized into Him, according to 1 Corinthians 12. We become identified with Him. Amen. Now this is where we ended at last Sunday. So this is finishing my little review here. But I just wanted to say some of it again, just to maybe bring it a little closer. Paragraph 295. The word manifested. Notice how he keeps putting it there. The word manifested. Ye are written epistles read of all men. How can they read it? Because it's on manifestation. Because you're the veil. You're the veil that God is living in, that God is moving through, that God is speaking through. And so you're manifesting it. You're manifesting you're the voice that He's speaking through. You're the body that His actions are happening through. The Word manifested or revealed in that revelation in there. See? In where? Those seven mysteries, those seven thunders that are in there. And he said they're in there, which they couldn't be written because John was not allowed to write them. John seen them. John seen what the seven thunders was. And John was going to write what he saw. And the Spirit said, do not write it, but seal it. Seal it up. See? The Word manifested or revealed in that revelation in there, then what does that put me? If He's that Shekinah glory, I'm part of it. Now, has He said this enough times that it's really getting home? He could not be the fullness of the Word unless you were in Him. That's what He said. Christ was the fullness at Calvary because that you were in Him. If you're part of the Word, you had to be there.
Amen. That's right.
You had to be there in Him at Calvary. He said you died for your sins on Calvary. You rose with Him in that resurrection. You were right there with Him. Everything that He did, you were right there with Him. You were on Mount Transfiguration. You did everything that He did. You did it because you were in Him. And then He says, He brings it down to this day, and He says, once again, the fullness is here again. Now, if we had to be there, and He said we did, in order for Him to be the fullness, then they have to be here in order to have the fullness today. You can't have the fullness unless all the body is there. So all that Luther was is here. All that Wesley was, it's here. All that Paul was, it's here. It's all here. And it's all Word. They were the manifestation of the body in their day. And that Word now has come forth and it's picked up that part of the body in every age. It's picked it up.
Amen.
What was it? It was the Spirit. It was the life. It was Christ coming through. And in every age, He revealed a part and it would pick it up. And they would say, praise God. That's the presence of God. They would come to it and they would live in that revelation. As long as they lived in that revelation. And when it was time to go, it didn't matter if they were put to death, how they went, they were ready to go in that they had. But when it came up to this time, now it came all the way back in the seventh age, was to restore back everything that they had in Paul's day. And Paul declared that what they had was in part. So the seventh age did not bring them to the fullness of Jesus Christ. It couldn't have it. Or else I'm misunderstanding it. The fullness came when He came. When He came, the fullness came. The first age was in part. The seventh age restored what they had in the first. That's what Brother Branham said. And then, and I was going to get the quotes and I didn't have time this morning, but he said all of the Bible right here, this complete revelation of Jesus Christ, all the Bible was revealed, and then came seven mysterious thunders. After all of this was revealed, you say, Brother, I was starting to see what you said about the Bible being the complete revelation. Now you're confusing it. No. It's still the complete revelation. And this is where he nails it. Right here, this is where he nails it. Because this is what the Bible said about those seven thunders that were not written. They were spoken. They were spoken word. They were not written in that Bible. The prophet said they're not written in the Bible. But he said all the revelation is in that Bible. He said it's all there. He keeps saying it. It's all there. That's why you can't add nothing to it. Now, let's just see. If he's that Shekinah glory, I'm part of it. Amen. Oh, amen. That's right. The Word itself reveals itself. That's what you are. Satan, Brother Branham said so many times, so many times that we live beneath our privilege. Is that right? We live beneath our privilege because we fail to recognize our place, our position, that we are sons and daughters of God. And as long as Satan can make you feel like you're unworthy to be a son or daughter of God, it's not going to make you not. One of my children can feel like, I don't feel worthy. They're never going to not be a son or daughter of God. Amen. Whatever you feel like, remember, we're not going by feelings. Right. You can feel like that you're not. You can feel like that you're not worthy. You can feel like whatever you want to feel like or whatever Satan can make you feel like. But if you are a predestinated seed, you will never stop being what he said that you are. No matter what, no matter how much Satan can play with your mind, how much he can play with your emotions, how much he can play with anything else, it's not going to change what God said that you are. That's the only thing that matters. And that's what's becoming more real. That's what's becoming more real. We're realizing more. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And the stronger it gets, the more bold you get. And the more easy it gets to ask whatever you will in my name. Now think. See? He's talking about that revelation. He's talking about that manifestation. He's talking about it being in there. He's talking about it being the complete revelation. Think. The mysteries of God made known to us in this day. Those seven thunders. By the same heavenly messenger that was made known to them in them days. Who revealed it? Christ. Who came to Paul? The pillar of fire. Huh? And revealed himself. Who revealed himself to Abraham? Christ. The pillar of fire. He came down and revealed himself. He took on Elohim, took on a body of flesh. He just blowed some dust and made a body and stepped into it, went down to visit his elect. He made a body in this day. But he made this body by predestination from Adam and Eve. And from Adam and Eve, he put this one together and that one together. This one together and that one together. And this one, for thousands of years, he bred this one to that one and this one to that one. And he finally got a William Branham. Yep. And that was the one he was waiting for, to be the voice to the seventh church age. And that would be the one that when the seventh angel was finished with his message, and the seventh angel told us, said, there can't be two of us at the same time. I will decrease and he will increase. And he did decrease. And he did increase. That's what happened. It wasn't so much about all the other stuff. It wasn't so much about the bait on the hook. Although healing has always been here. It'll always be here. That's the children's bread. God always has healing for his children. But what the reality was, what the real thing was, the word then began to come. The word began to flow. Then it began to, revelation began to pour out to the people. The mysteries of God made known to us in this day by the same heavenly messenger that was made known to them in them days. Revelations 10, a mighty angel come down from heaven. That's right. A mighty angel come down from heaven. And he spoke those seven thunder mysteries. It's right there in the Bible. Right there in the Bible tells us how we know those seven thunders. That's right. And he did it. He came down. He came down and he spoke. See, the same pillar of fire that sent Moses, the same pillar of fire that was on Moses that wrote the Bible, the same pillar of fire that Paul met on his road down to Damascus, and think of it, the same pillar of fire that came on those men that wrote the Bible is the same pillar of fire here today interpreting the Bible. You want to read about Paul's day? You want to read about Moses' day? You can read about this day. Because God come down in this day and revealed those seven thunder mysteries. Amen. How are we thinking for that? See? The same. The same. pillar of fire. Now, in the message proving his word, now we're gonna turn just a little bit. Actually, I want to talk some more about these seals and the order of it. And then he's going to talk some about the signs in this last days. And that's in the message, Christ revealed in his own word. And I'm trying to hit the highlights, but some of those things I just hate to leave out. You know, he talks about those investigating angels. I know Brother Richard read a lot of these things, but he talks about them a lot. After the seals, he begins telling the people and reminding the people several times about those investigating angels. He talks about those signs in the heavens. He talks about the signs on the earth. He talks about the things that God is revealing and manifesting himself through after those things had came forth, or as they were coming forth. God was giving the signs, as the scripture had promised, there would be signs in the heavens above and upon the earth below. See, do you believe we're living in the last days when the Son of Man was to be manifested? That would be all the word gathered up through Luther and Wesley and Baptist, and all that, and the Pentecostals. See, all gathered up to the revelation of what it's all been. Now, I just want to bring to your attention, what did he just say that you are? What did he say you are? You're the Word. Is that right? You're the veil that the Word is living in. That where Christ is living, that's what you are. So if you, the part of the body that's manifesting this day, you are the Word. What are they? Huh? He was picking up the Word in every age. And the Word is the body. The Word is the believer. The Word is the elect. It's that germ. It's that germ that's on the inside. That seed, that elect on the inside. So what it was in Paul's day, There was people, the Word was living in those veils and manifesting Christ for their day. That's what they were. And now all of that, all that Word, all that elect, now it's gathered up now into this, into this. The seventh angel was to open the sixth seal mystery. Now, do you think that he made a mistake?
No.
Do you think that he forgot there were seven seals? And now all of a sudden he's saying six seals? Just randomly? No. No, this isn't random. This isn't a mistake. He knows exactly what he's saying.
Yes, sir.
He knows exactly what he's saying. He's separating the six seals and the seventh seal so that the bride will catch what he is saying. He just gives little clues. He gives little hints. And he does it on purpose. He says things to throw them off. So some people, this is a mistake. To some people, this is confusion. Not to the bride. This just confirms what she's already been receiving. The revelation she's already receiving, this just confirms that the sixth seal mystery and the seventh seal mystery is two different things. You say, brother, it all goes together. Absolutely, it goes together. But the seventh seal is his coming. And the seventh seal is only revealed to the elect. The sixth seal mystery is the revelation of what had been taking place for 2,000 years, and the seventh church age, those of the seventh church age, could receive that. They could receive that. But if they weren't ordained over in this age, if they didn't stay long enough for the revelation to become unfolded, then they didn't ever see this part of it. They just received the seventh angel messenger. They received the message of their day, and they were sealed by the message of their day, and they went off the scene. But the revelation was laying there in a supernatural element. And it was just waiting and waiting. And God was going to bring it. And he was bringing it, but it was coming little by little by little. After that messenger, that veil went off the scene. There was a time that it seemed like nothing was happening. Although the books were printing, there was a lot of false prophets was rising up. A lot of people wanted to take Brother Branham's place. A lot of people wanted to be the messenger. A lot of people wanted all the crowd to come to them, that they were the only one. It was just quiet. And to me, during that time, that it fits perfectly what Brother Branham said in the Church Ages book. The bride will have thus saith the Lord, or she'll be quiet. She will wait till God does it. Didn't matter how many Junior Jacksons rose up. Didn't matter how many of any of these other preachers rose up. And around the world, every country, they had them. They're not just in America. They're in every country. They got eighth messengers. They got different ones bringing the revelation. And so, I don't read much behind those guys, because as soon as they say that they're taking the place of the prophet, I already know they're a false prophet.
That's right.
The only thing that is taking the place of the prophet and not in revealing is the bride.
That's right.
She's taking the place in manifestation. That veil has gone, but Christ is here in the bride,
yes,
manifesting what that prophet spoke. What came out of that mouth is what's being manifested in the bride. And as soon as people start pointing to something else, I don't have to study them. I don't have to read and see if they're on the word. No, they're off the word already. It's already determined. There's not another one coming. The eighth messenger, if you want to call it eighth messenger, was Christ himself. There were seven angels, and then there was Christ. And that's it. You can't, there's nowhere else to go. We look back to him because he's the fullness. And so if the fullness has come, there's nobody needs to come and reveal anything to us. It's all in here. It's all been delivered. It's just becoming, it's maturing. It's manifesting in the life of the bride.
Amen.
Let's read it again. The seventh angel was to open the sixth seal mystery. It's all to be gathered up in the Son of Man. His fullness of time has come to the fullness of his word, to the manifest the fullness of his body. Praise God. That's the word. Oh, what is it? The word. What did he say about those written epistles? Manifestation of the word manifested. See, then that's the spoken word made manifest by the word. What is that now? That mighty angel comes down, that same heavenly messenger that spoke to them back there, that same pillar of fire spoke to them back there, has come now in this day. And what is it? It's the spoken word. It's the spoken word. Brother Branham said the spoken word is the original seed.
Amen.
The spoken word is the original seed. That's why Brother Branham sat in the marriage and divorce. He said that because of Calvary, Christ will once again be able to call his children from the dust of the earth. He will be able to speak his children into existence. All of this time, it's been by sex. Ever since the fall, it's been by sex. But he said that Calvary opened the door. Why? Because that was the standard. That's the way God set it up. That all of that was laid aside until that was taken care of. And then he said, now because of that, he can speak his children into existence. So we can say that there's only going to be this, there's only going to be that, that he's got them all. No, God can keep creating sons and daughters of God as long as he wants to create sons and daughters of God. He don't get too many. He don't get overpopulated. He don't get underpopulated. Whatever he wants, that's what it's going to be.
Amen.
And when we get over there, if he decides he wants a million more, All he has to do is speak them. Speak them, and they'll be right there. But they won't come through sex. In the masterpiece. Now that was proving his word. And he said the seventh angel was to open the sixth seal mystery. Right? All right. And then that sixth seal mystery was to be gathered up into the revelation of the Son of Man. All right. Now in the masterpiece. Now he's going to say the same thing, but he's got a lot of some before and after here. And I'm going to include it in there. Now, closing in a few minutes, I want you to notice real close of something that just happened. Malachi 4 is to bring back to the original. And what was the original? The spoken word. How did Adam come? By spoken word. He was spoken. She is smitten from the church. From the church body, smitten with her master. For the same purpose. She is the word, just the same as Joseph was smitten from his brethren because he was the word. See? And Jesus was smitten from his brethren because he was the word. And the church is smitten. The bride is smitten from the church because, why? She's the word. There's your stages again. 1, 2, 3. See? Just exactly. Praise God. See? The word living and in action. The Bible bride, not some man-made bride, the Bible bride. See? Smitten and afflicted of God. No beauty we should desire her. But yet, we did esteem her smitten and afflicted of God. That's right. She stands alone. She's smitten from all the denominations, according to Revelation 3. She's smitten out of the Laodicean church age that was raised up, that she was raised up in. See, this church was raised up in the Laodicean church age. That was the husk. See, can't you Pentecostal man see that? If the other was husk and died, if that other stalk had to die, if the tassel had to die, so must the husk die. When they're pushing for Pentecost to reproduce Pentecost today, don't they realize that it's got to die to bring forth the seed? It don't matter. It don't matter. And it don't matter what country you're in. Because I've seen it in every country that I've been in. They're trying to bring Pentecost to be the seed. And it's not. It's not the seed. I've had men think that they were embarrassing me or they were belittling me by saying that Pentecost was the seed. And to try to criticize, stand up behind me after preaching. And try to criticize what I preached and say that Pentecost was the seed. It wasn't the seed. It don't matter how much you think it was the seed. Brother Branham said it was the shuck. Pentecost was the shuck. And it had to die. The seed was Christ. That's what the seed was. It was Christ. That's what went in the ground. Christ, the Word, the living Word. That's what was quickened. When it went in the ground, it was quickened. And that's what began to come up. And that life was coming through. Amen. The life never stopped. The life kept going. But all of that other was dying. It looked good when it was green and beautiful. It sure does. It looks good. We've seen a lot of cornfields out going towards the coast. And I didn't realize how much swamp and pines like Florida. I think almost 100 miles of pine trees. And we went one way and we come back through the country another way. I don't know, maybe tens of thousands and thousands of acres of pine trees. But a lot of the corn, you could tell it wasn't doing so great because it was drying up. And you could see it
some of it was dying off and it wasn't fully produced. You go out to Iowa or Illinois, and you can drive for hours and hours, and you won't see anything but corn as far as you can see. And the soil is so black and so rich, and that corn is like 9-10 feet tall. It's over your head. It's just is amazing. It's amazing. And those two states are the two number one in the country, maybe the world, I don't know. And but anyways, when it gets the water, it is the most beautiful thing. It's deep, deep green, beautiful. Everything's coming off just perfect. The tassel, it comes off golden, and it looks so good. But none of that is it. None of it. None of what you are seeing with your eyes is what you want. Every bit of the life is protected. It's hidden on the inside. And that's what this revelation was. It was hidden on the inside. Nobody could see it. Nobody could know it. And now you're the manifestation of that thing that has been laying there, not able to be seen for thousands, the foundation of the world. That's what he said. Not seven church ages, but since the foundation of the world, it's been hidden. And now the veil is taken off to show what it is that he had in his mind. Praise be to God. Christ revealed in his word. Can't you Pentecostal man see that? If that other husk was, that other was husk and died, if the other stalk had to die, if the tassel had to die, so must the husk die. The three stages of organization. And remember, you said, well, now there was a lot of tassels hanging on. There's a lot of this. Yeah, there had been Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Church of Christ, all these other little things that fell into it, onto it, leaves and everything else, had hung onto it. But the original was the Reformation's now. See? That's right. Stands alone. Like the bridegroom, rejected of man, despised and rejected of the churches, the bride stands that way. What is it? It's his masterpiece. See? It's the word that he can work through, make manifest, rejecting. See? So the stalk and the tassel and the husk never become seed. No. But are all the time becoming more like the seed. They never become seed. Now, at the harvest time, the seed is back to its original life. Back to the Bible. Back where? Back to the Bible. And what is the Bible? The complete revelation. It's the complete revelation. What did those six seals do? They revealed everything. They proved that God knew everything that had happened for the last 2,000 years. And he spoke all of it in symbols, and he put it in the Bible, in the book of Revelations. And then when it's revealed, you look down and you see it perfectly all the way through. And even the theologians can't. Even the theologians can't do anything but say, this is the only thing that's made sense. Of all the theologians for 2,000 years, here is a little humble man with no education, has just took the whole book of Revelations and laid it out there, tied it into history, and showed us exactly what happened the last 2,000 years. Perfectly put together. Amen. But there's something more. And that was that seventh seal. Now at the harvest time, the seed's back to the original life. Back to the Bible. Malachi 4 said it would be brought that way. Oh my, must have all. To be this way, it must have all of the word. Is that right? Congregation says amen. Now, what did he say in Revelations 10 would take place? Why was the trip to Tucson? To open to the church. Now, I just have to say something because it comes to my mind. And you... Brother Branham said one time, if it comes to my mind, I was probably supposed to say it. And that doesn't always work for me. It always works for him.
but that might not always work for me. Sometimes you wish you hadn't said it, but this is, I think this one's not one of those things. But why was the trip to Tucson? I was reading in the questions and answers this morning, or maybe it was last night to my wife, and where Brother Branham was saying, they were asking him the question. Brother Branham, you said the reason why God sent you out west the first time. And he said, it happened just what you said. But you didn't say that God told you to go back. You know, even his wife was wrestling with that. Even that even came to his house. And that's when God wrote across the wall and said, go back. Mm-hmm. And so then just, I guess that took care of the wife right there. I think Lee Vail was there too. But anyway, so they had people in the congregation was also saying. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking like this. Okay, God told the prophet, go west. You're going to meet seven angels. And you're going to come back here and reveal the seven seals, okay? And so now this is so phenomenal and so supernatural and so, you might read something similar in the Bible, something great that happened that Moses did or Paul did or Christ did. But now in our day, a man has spoke these things and God has vindicated everything that he said was going to happen. And now, to me, you don't need any more vindication. You don't need to wonder if this prophet is in the will of God or out of the will of God because he's on the East Coast or the West Coast or where he's at. How, after what God has done, could you even start to question? Well, why did you go back? Did God tell you to go back? You know, you better be careful about going back. Can you imagine? The mindset of people that are thinking, they're going to correct the prophet. And, it's just like he told his wife. He said, honey, he said, oh, I don't know. He said, but for me, he said, don't matter where I am, I'm going to serve God. So it didn't matter if he was there or here. He was serving God. And then that was for the wife. But then when the people started asking, he said, and he was talking to the elect. He said, just trust me. Just trust me. I know why I'm there. He said, I can't tell you everything. Just trust me. I know why I'm there. And it just might happen to be one of those statements like, this is happening so fast out here in this desert. This revelation's coming so fast, so great, that I can't even keep up with it. Yet, they would have loved for the prophet to sit around their house and sit on their porch and sit on their come have dinner and all that. And he would have loved it too. But he didn't have the time for that all the time. You know, people, I was reading last couple of weeks where Georgie Carter, where they had went out and met the family, and I think they were Church of Christ, and they didn't believe. And the mother and father were very much against Brother Branham. And I might have told you last week, but I can't remember now what the mother called him. It wasn't exactly a false prophet, but she had a word for him. And I can't think of what. It was pretty bad, though. It was pretty bad. It was the grace of God that brought them out if they came out. I don't know. But anyway, so so they had done that. So they already knew about all of that. And so the people were praying and they were waiting to see what God would do about the little girl and all of that. And so Brother Branham was at somebody's house, staying at somebody's house. I don't know if he was just in town. And so he was hiding from the crowd or whatever. And so whoever it was preparing his dinner. And so he said, Brother Branham said, I'm going out to pray. I went out in the woods and pray. And he said, I'm going to ring this bell when it's time to eat. And so, you know, I would want him at my table. I would want to feed him. I would want that. But I wouldn't be getting all stirred up and, you know, you're late for dinner. You're late for your meal. You're late for this. He's out there praying, getting a word from God. And so he was hours past that bell ringing. They rang that bell, And Brother Branham didn't come. They rang the bell and rang the bell. And so they send out a search party. And they're searching for him and searching for him. And they come back. And finally they get back and Brother Branham comes out and the man saying, "Brother, you're late. It's food's cold." I don't remember what all he said, but you could tell he was irritated. He was irritated. And so he's telling him, come on. It's past time to eat. Brother Branham said, "We don't have time to eat. God told me to go see Georgie Carter." And that's when that little girl came out of the bed. That's when the mother fainted. That's when they were rebuking the prophet for getting the girl all stirred up and getting her all excited. God is doing something. God has got somebody that is so into his hands, so into his hands that nothing else matters. God's first. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to be, that God's first. That if he wants us to miss a meal, we can miss a meal. If he wants us to miss a get-together, we can miss a get-together. If he's put something on your heart, but let it be something for God. Not let it be for your nonsense. Let it be for God. There's too much nonsense. There's too much nonsense now. Too much of the world, too much of the social media, too much of these other things. And I tell you, I don't know, but these people that sit in church on their social media, I don't think God's pleased with that. I mean, whatever your relationship is, whatever your lack of attention span is, whatever it is that you can sit there while the Word of God is being preached, and you can sit there going through all your media stuff. You ain't following the preacher like that. No, you're not. It concerns me. I don't think that God is happy with that. And I don't think God winks at that. I think that that is a serious offense. You know, Brother Branham said back in the 60s, he said it was the rudest thing to come into church chewing bubble gum. It's the rudest thing. It was, you know, that was one of the things. You looked at in this day and age in the schools now. If you read the things that they worry about, I mean, they worry about kids bringing guns and knives and cussing and fighting the teachers and all those things. That's what is today. Do you know that in the 50s, in the 1950s, you know what one of the number one problems in the school was that people got in trouble for? There was no shooting. There was no knives. Their guns was in their trucks. There was no problem. You could have your gun at school, and nobody took it out of their truck. We had gun racks. We had gun racks in the truck. And almost every truck where I went to school, they had their rifles, their hunting rifles were in that rack that could be seen through the back window. That was common. And nobody was going crazy shooting other people. That was common. They could stop on the way home and hunt and do different things. Do you know what the problem was with some, just a handful of kids? You know what they got in trouble for in the 50s? Chewing gum in school. Chewing bubble gum in school. That's the difference of then and now. That's the difference. And that was considered an offense. That was considered very rude. And sitting there while the preacher's preaching. Yeah. It's still rude today. If bubble gum, if your bubble gum is an offense to God, and the prophet said, the prophet is the one who said it's disrespectful. Whatever you think about your bubble gum, you think it's holy, or you think it's wonderful, or you think that you don't mean it disrespectfully. It don't matter what you think. The prophet said it's wrong. You don't chew it in church. That's what the prophet said. And people make all the excuses they want to make, But it's respect. It's just respect. Everything in our life should be respect.
That's right.
Something I've been very, very adamant. I let the children get by with a lot. One thing I don't put up for 1 minute, and they know. They want my hot button. They play while we are having devotions, or we're talking about the Word of God, or we're praying. I won't have that. I won't have any disrespect. I won't have a joke. I won't have laughing and giggling. I won't have that. Because that's the most serious thing in our lives, is our time with God. And if you have a time that you sit down and you tell jokes to God, that's between you and God. When we spend time with God, it ought to be our most serious, our most respectful, our most sacred moments of our days.
Amen.
Should be that time spent with God. It should be.
Amen.
In the days of the messenger of the seventh angel message, the whole word of God would be made manifest. The seal. Huh? The what? The seal. What seal? What seal is he talking about? The seal that what all the stock had left off. Of why? This seal that he's talking about is going to explain why all of these things. Well, let me tell you which seal explained the why. It was the seventh. It was the seventh. Just read Marriage and Divorce, and one or two things will happen. You'll come away either with your mind on polygamy, and you're either for it or against it, believing it or not believing it, or you will realize the richness of the depth of the revelation in that message. And you will begin to take note, and you will fill up a notebook of the things that the prophet revealed that had not been known from the foundation of the world. He told us why the woman was not in the original creation. He told us the why of all of these things. He just went from one thing to another, to another, to another, revealing the why.
That's right.
That was the mystery. Those were the parts of the things that made it so real to us. To me, that's the beauty of the message. Because these things that have been laying there, and we hadn't understood it just exactly right. Some of it we didn't. Some of it we've seen it, but we didn't understand why. And now he's revealed the why. You know, it's. You ever tell your children something? Or if your children, you ever ask your parents? They'll tell you not to do something or to do something, and they say, why?
Yeah.
Huh? If you know, and that's not always, some parents don't put up with that. You don't get a why. You just do what I say. But let me tell you something. If you can tell them why, if you give them the why when you're wanting something, when you're expecting something from them, you would be amazed how effective the why is.
Yeah.
If you tell me something, and I can go on a job and they can tell me, this is the way you do it, you do but I'm already processing this in my mind, and I'm already looking for a better way. Men have that problem. And that's not just my problem. Men have that problem. We're assessing this thing, and we're looking for a better way. Now, you might have the best way. We don't know yet. We haven't proven your way. But we want to prove it. But if you tell us why, then we start putting it into perspective, and we're saying, okay, so if I do that, this will happen. If I do that, this will happen. If I fail to do this, that's going to happen. So the why makes so much difference. And so in this revelation, that's what helps you to understand it. That's what helps you to explain it. That's what brings the reality of the whole thing. You know, if you talk to somebody sometimes, you're talking to somebody, and you say you're talking about marriage and divorce, just that as an example, and they've never heard none of these things. They don't know the message. They don't know, you know. And even somebody who maybe knows the Bible really well. And you start talking to them about how Eve was in Adam. He was both male and female.
Right.
And their eyes get big and they're like, what are you talking about? They don't realize that he was both male and female. And then God separated that. They don't know that Eve was the only female that was not in the original creation. They don't know she's the only one who could have a relationship any time that she wanted. And no other female, no other animal could do it. None. There was none. And so item after item after item, things that had never been known before have now become reality. And it lets us explain what happened. And it goes all the way through the message. It goes right into these things here that we have today. Boy, I guess I'm talking too much because my computer just lost me. The seal. That what all the stock has left off of why and all about it would be made manifest in this time. I love that. See, is that what the word said? Says, and the congregation says amen. Then we see it. Huh? We see it. We recognize it. Now we recognize it. Now is the time. Now is the hour. Because he's revealed it to the bride. Then where are we at? See? Where are we at? There's only one thing. The harvest time is here. She's dead ripe. She's ready now for the coming. Praise be to God. Oh my. She's ripe. What's ripe? The word. The word is ripe. See? No, it'll never be. At the harvest time, the seed is back to its original condition and must have all of the word in order to be the seed. It must have all of the word in order to be the original seed. Now, you can't have a half a seed. It won't grow. See? It's got to be the whole seed. It's got to say, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I believe in speaking tongues. That's just part of the seed. Uh-huh. But now there is added to that. Hallelujah. See, the life, not the gifts, the life of the gifts. See? See what I mean? We're at the end time, brethren. What is it now? It's the life. The stalk, the tassel, the husk is dead and dry now. There's only one thing that has to happen to that. It's to be gathered in the World Council of Churches for its burning. Paragraph 170. The Word. What? The Word. What are you? The Word. What was the prophet? The Word. The Word has become flesh. Exactly like he promised in Luke 17. And Malachi 4. See, that's right. And Revelations. Three scriptures. Revelations 10. The Word become flesh. Luke 17. The Word become flesh. Malachi 4. The Word become flesh. Huh? Before the seals was revealed. And this is 64. Before the seals was revealed. We looked at these scriptures. We looked at Malachi. We looked at Luke, and we thought a seventh angel messenger. That's a seventh angel messenger. He never said this before the seals, but now after the seals, now all of a sudden Luke 17 is the Word made flesh. That's a much bigger statement. That's a much broader statement than saying that this is the seventh angel. This is the messenger. No, now Malachi 4. Is the Word made flesh. Amen. That's the Word in a veil, manifesting the promise of the age. All true life that was in the stalk, in the tassel, in the husk, is now gathering in the seed. Huh? All of the life that came through there, see, ready for the resurrection, ready for the harvest. The Alpha has become the Omega. Amen. The first come last. And the last is the first. The seed that went in has come through a process and become the seed again. The seed that fell in the Garden of Eden and died there, come back. From where? From Calvary? Did he just say the Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
Did he just say the seed that fell in the Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
Where that fall took place. Where that fall took place. And that separation separated that fellowship. The seed that fell in the Garden of Eden and died there come back. From that imperfect seed that died there, come back to the perfect seed, the second Adam. Praise God. The first Eve that fell and was used in the second Reformation, the second coming, as bringing forth a child, now has become the true bride again, the seed. Right back with the original word again. What's the original word? The spoken word.
That's right.
It's the spoken word. It's Christ himself. I am Alpha and Omega. He never said anything in between. Huh?
Right.
Between the Alpha and the Omega. He didn't say anything in between, identifying. He never said anything in between, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Yes, sir. Why? The seed, and it's the seed.
Right.
In between was not the seed.
Yeah.
It started a seed, it went in the ground. It came back to a seed. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message and the last message is the same thing. I was in Alpha, I'm in Omega. There'll be a day that won't be called day or night, but in the evening time, it shall be light. See, the Alpha and the Omega. It's become the first and the last. Oh, my brethren, we could stay for hours on that. That's right. The first and the last is the same thing. Who was it? It was Christ. It was Christ the first time. It was Christ the second time. Huh? That same heavenly messenger came down and spoke the promise for this day. Spoke the revelation for this day. I'm not sure what happened here, but my clock says 5 minutes to one. That's not right, is it? I don't know what happened there. let's see. Well, oh, could you just give me 7 or 8 minutes? Sorry, I'm getting this kind of habit forming here. This is an invisible union. Just let's take this 2 or 3 paragraphs here, and we'll get it right there. Paragraph 287. God put it right before your eyes. You shut your eyes and fail to look at it. Yeah? Shutting up your bowels of compassion. When you see the true word of God and these 7 seals being vindicated and proved to be so and witness in the heavens. Now, we won't get down to the other quotes, but I want you to hold on to this word, witness in the heavens, across the nations and everywhere else. By great signs and wonders that he promised he would do. Then you shut up. See? Now, that's... We'll just leave off all those people that are going away. And some of them, they keep their seal book. They keep their seal book to refer to because they know that, that's true. They know it's right. And they'll keep it. And they'll even talk to you about it. You talk to some of these people that go away. I was talking to one not too long ago, and we were talking, and he was explaining his side and why he didn't believe this, and this is wrong, this is wrong. But the things that he was saying, some of the things he was saying was right out of the seal book. And I thought, oh, so I didn't quit believing this to stop believing the prophet or stop following the message. He still believes that seal book's right. That's a contradiction in my book. That's a contradiction. If it's wrong, it's wrong. See, look what kind of sign that Jesus himself, the incarnated God, standing there in human flesh. You say, that was an angel? The Bible said it was God. Lord God, Elohim, standing there in human flesh. What did we just read? Luke 17, Malachi 4, Revelation 10. Huh? The Word made flesh. Showing now that He would so anoint His church in the last days. It would be God working in human flesh again. Praise be to God. What are you? You're the veil. You're the veil that God is hiding in. You're the manifestation of those seven thunder mysteries. You are the manifestation of those seven thunder mysteries on this earth today. Manifesting to everyone you come in contact with. Amen. That's why you don't have to fear the sheep getting around anybody else, because the sheep are going to bear wool.
That's right.
The sheep aren't going to stop being a sheep when they get around a goat.
Amen.
And if those things get out of hand, the sheep are going to get away from there. You don't have to worry about that.
Yep.
But when the sheep are around those people that claim to be sheep, then they are manifesting Christ to them. And if there's a seed in them, that seed is going to get quickened because of the presence.
Yes.
Because of the presence that's in you. The life that's living and manifesting in you, that's the thing that's going to quicken it. The thing that made that eagle recognize he was an eagle is he heard an eagle. When he heard an eagle, he had never heard an eagle. He had never seen an eagle. Everything he seen was chickens. All he seen was chickens. All he heard was chickens. It's all that he knowed. He thought that was the noise. He thought that's what you were supposed to look like. And so when they're out there in the message church and full of the world, doing everything that the world does, doing everything any nominal church is, it's because they never seen an eagle.
Right.
And when they see an eagle,
yes, sir,
they're going to wake up.
Amen.
They're going to wake up and they're going to recognize that this is not an eagle. This is an eagle.
Right.
Then the reality sets in. This is the chicken.
Yep.
This is the chicken and this is an eagle. And it took the scream, it took the manifestation of that life.
That's right.
And you don't have to run. If the pastor is worried about losing his people, if he's a genuine,
Amen.
If he's a genuine believer,
yes, sir,
then he's only concerned for the elect.
I'm
not saying he's going to throw them out there. He's looking out for them all the time. But it's the Word that's doing it. It's the Spirit that's doing it.
That's right.
It's God. What I'm saying is, I don't want to confuse you, and I don't think I could, but I'm saying, let your light shine.
Amen.
Just let your light shine.
Yeah.
And nobody can hurt you. Nobody can change your destiny. And if somebody went out and they seen something there that they liked better and they stayed there, then that's what's in there. That's where they need to be. Because now they're going to be happy. They weren't happy sitting here. They'll be happy there if that's what's in their heart. That's what they need. That they need to satisfy that nature. And if Christ is in there, you can't sit under false teaching. You can't sit where the world is in control.
Right.
So let me just get, that's another one of them things you get on, you wonder, you get out there and you can't get back. We're just going to stop right there. So we want you to really continue to remember Brother Goomba.
Amen.
And we really feel bad what happened. And of course we know God will get glory out of it. We sometimes it takes time for us to see it, but God will get glory. Because all things work together for good to them that love Him. And that brother loves God. And that brother believes this message. And so, but we want to be there for him. We want to
we want to be in prayer for him, and we want to make sure that he doesn't suffer in anything, that if he has needs, we want to be there for him. So you be in prayer. You be in prayer, and God will have his way. He will lead and guide in all things. And so we'll ask you to stand together. So I'm going to ask Brother Michael, maybe he'll sing us a song. And I want to say, I didn't say anything. Your sister sang a special for us just recently, and we really appreciate it. And I know we have some singers here, and nobody's pressuring anybody, but we just want you to know that you're welcome. Anytime you feel like giving us a special, we really love that. And so, amen. So God bless you. We'll let Brother Michael come and dismiss us.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that.
Amen.
And just let God say it.
Amen.
You ain't got to worry about it.
Amen.
Sometimes they want to fix something, but you just, God's watching. God's not missing anything. He's right there. And I thought I had, and you know, a farmer, you ever wonder why a farmer or anybody would plant corn? Why are they planting the corn? So they can fellowship with it. So they can eat it later. So they can become one with it. And so, yeah, they plant it, and they might get excited when they start seeing it coming out of the ground. Get a little bit taller, and you just bear with me if I get my thought out right. But as it gets closer and closer, you know, the farmer knows what it looks like. Now, someone that doesn't know what corn like, as it gets to that shuck, and even Brother Bam says that shuck looks so much like the seed, but it's not. And it's so close. It's even in the shape. You know, you take the shuck is wrapped around that corn. And if you was just to look at a silhouette of a corn, of a piece of corn and a corn wrapped in the shuck, if you look at the silhouette, they look the same shape. It looks just like you could be a little bit confused. But you take that shuck off, and then you'll see the corn. And so you got to get away from that shuck. And just as soon as you get that shuck, you ask anybody that eats corn that has shuck corn, you ask them normally, there might be some points of where you're storing it. But as soon as you're shucking that corn, you're going to eat it. You get it out, you clean it, you're going to eat it right then. You're done with the shuck, you're done with the stalk, you're done with the whole process. Because you want to become part. That was the whole reason why you planted with it. You didn't get it there to do something else with. You planted it to become one with it. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. So, sorry about all that. I just thought I had. And he's so good to us.
Amen.
He's so good to us. And the life was going through the whole time. It was the life all the way through.
Amen.
So let's sing. Thank God I'm free.
I'm
does, or if he'll come around and dismiss us in a word of prayer. Good to see him. I know the Duke loves him, so they're going to work him as long as he's going to let him work him. So we're glad to have him here this morning. We miss him Wednesday night, but yeah, we know he's here in spirit. So.
Amen. It's, I would say it's good to be here.
Amen.
I went over to see Brother Goomba, and he was in a lot of pain. I think we ought to pray for him. And let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we've been fed today. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that we're in the message, Lord, that we can hear God speak, Lord God. Lord, we know that you speak to us because we're part of you, Lord. Now let that revelation sink deep, Lord. Father, your brother, your son, Lord, your brother Goomba, I ask now that you would touch us, touch his body, Lord, and bring healing results, Lord. I went over there, his head was sweating, where he was in so much pain, and my heart went out to him. And Lord, I just ask that you would touch him now, Lord. Father, bless everyone in the midst of your word, Lord God. Lord, watch over us all, Lord, them that have to go on the road, Lord, them that are going home, whatever they need to go, Lord, be with them, Lord, because you're part of the Word, Lord, and the Word is God. We're thankful now, Lord, that we've been able to hear part of you, Lord. Be with us now, Father, watch over us. And we thank you so much for the word we've heard. Bless Brother Don, Lord, and strengthen him, Lord, his job and his fleshly doings, Lord, you know all about it. I ask that you give him strength, Lord. We're so thankful that we've been able to be in your midst and hearing of your voice. We ask now in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.